that our names are written in the church directory, or do we want our books to our names to be written in the book of life? Are we coming to church on Sabbath just to show, or are we acting Christians all week long? While on earth, Jesus gave us an example of how to live and develop a relationship with our Heavenly Father. He gave his disciples an example of how to pray and how to live a Christian life. Jesus speaks of the importance of having our names written in heaven. In Luke 10:20, if anybody would like to turn there. Luke 10:20, it says, "Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." That addresses the vital function of the book. It is a listing of those from the beginning to the end of time who have been granted eternal salvation. We must be certain that we are called to that when we are called to stand before the Lord, our names are found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. As I was saying, we do have an example of how to live a Christian life, and Romans 12 is actually a good book that explains how. So if you turn to Romans 12, it's actually divided up into three different parts, and the first part of Romans 12 is being a living is about being a living sacrifice to God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, as Jesus talking about wanting us to have a relationship with the Father, in John 15, verses 15 to 17, he says, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." And then moving over to 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 to 13. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life, that this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Now, in the second part of Romans 12, if we could just, you know, if we turn back there, leave our fingers there, because I'm going to go back to it. The second part of this section is, talks about serve God with spiritual gifts. For I say it through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, do not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy. If proportion to our faith, our ministry, let it use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now, in the third part of Romans 12, it talks about behaving like Christians. And that starts in Romans 12 in verse number 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer, distributing the needs of the saints, given in hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be for the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high places, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it's possible, as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord thereof. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire in his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now in Matthew 7, verses 21 to 23, it talks about a lot of people that are in churches and stuff, you know, they go out preaching, casting out demons in Christ's name, but they actually are doing it on their own. They're trying to do works as opposed to doing what God wants. And he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Now, I know that we all go through personal struggles in life, and my family, just like other families, has been kind of broken up for a lot of years because of different things. And As everyone pretty much knows, except for those that are visiting, a couple weeks ago I had to go in for surgery. And I had a couple complications with it and stuff, and so I wasn't always able to get on the phone, but I talked to a few of my family members, and one of the blessings that came out of it was my mom's husband and my brother haven't probably spoken in over the last 10 years, and unfortunately that might means that my mom hasn't had a chance to see her grandchildren and stuff. But I actually stay in contact with them over Facebook, and we call and talk on the phone quite a bit. And because I was in the hospital and stuff, I just thought, well, maybe I'll give, you know, my mom the number of my nephew. And so they actually, in me healing and having the surgery, had a chance to contact one another. And this is the first time that they've seen each other in over 8 years, I found out. I thought it might have been a little bit longer, but at least I guess they were at a funeral, my grandfather's, a while back. And so slowly God's bringing the family back together. And it's just been quite a blessing and stuff. And so when I was, you know, laying in the hospital and stuff, I started thinking again, you know, about the song, "Is My Name Written There?" You know, if anything happens when you're in surgery, I mean, anytime you go in, no matter how small it is, anything can happen. And so I happened to have a hymnal that had the words of the song into it. And because I'm not able to sing the song, I wanted to at least read the verses to you. And then one of these days, I will actually do a special music and play the song for you. But the song starts off, "Lord, I care not for riches, neither silver nor gold. I would make sure of heaven, I would enter the fold. In the book of thy kingdom, with its pages so fair, tell me, Jesus, my Savior, is my name written there? Is my name written there, on the page white and fair, in the book of thy kingdom, is thy name written there? Lord, the sins they are... Lord, my sins, they are many, like the sands of the sea. But thy blood, O my Savior, is sufficient for me. For thy promise is written in bright letters that glow. Though your sins be as scarlet, I will make them like snow. Is my name written there, on the page white and fair? In the book of thy kingdom, is my name written there? O that beautiful city, with its mansions of light, with its glorified beings in pure garments of white, where no evil things cometh to despoil what is fair, where the angels are watching, yes, my name's written there." So, like I said, one of these days I will be doing that song as a special music for us. But I just thought that it was an appropriate song on a day where we're doing a communion Sabbath and we're all coming together to renew and to remember Jesus' dying sacrifice for us, and that we do have a chance to go to heaven. And I know that in these times, things are really tough for all of us. There's a lot of people that are looking for direction in life. A lot of people that have even been in, that have been in the church for a long time, you know, it's nice to see young people come in and, you know, see everyone on fire. And like in our, we're actually just finishing up the 10 days in the upper room with Mark Finley. And it started off, we kind of went through it fast. In the last several chapters, we've actually taken the time and gone through it slowly as a Bible study, and it has just been such a blessing. And I've actually learned a lot from it. I mean, you, when we're reading the Bible and going through the stuff, sometimes we read it so fast that we overlook some of the stuff that's written there. And when we take the time and study some of these verse by verse, all of a sudden they have a new meaning and they touch our hearts. Thank you. Now in Mark 8, verses 34 to 38, Jesus talks about taking up our cross and following him. When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, for him the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with his holy angels." So I would just like to remind everybody that today, as we do our communion service, that we all remember to take up our crosses and to follow Jesus. And as we're drinking the representation of his spilt wine and his broken body for us, that we remember the love that he has for us. We love him because he first loved us. And that's the end of my sermon. So at this time, we can adjourn to go downstairs for our foot washing. There's separate rooms for the men, the women, and then for couples. And I guess there's going to be either a story or some songs up here for the children during it. And then we'll all meet back up here to take the communion service.